Now, when Janet Napolitano got the nomination for Secretary of Homeland Security in 2008, a former Pennsylvania governor said that Napolitano was perfect for the job because she has no family and could then devote 19 or 20 hours a day to the job.
Our next guest argues that single employees shouldn't have to pick up the slack for their married coworkers. She just wrote a piece about that on the publication Quartz, and you can find that piece on the Central Time Facebook page. Bella DiPaolo is the author of Singled Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Live Happily Ever After. Bella, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Bella, why do you say that single people are expected to pick up the extra slack at work?
Because they are. Often it's the married workers who are more valuable and whose needs and wishes are considered more important. So if they want to take time off or leave early or not have to come in for the holidays or not have to take the travel for the weekends, they are more likely to get the nod than single people are in many workplaces, even though workplaces should be about work.
And can you give us some examples of how that plays out in the workplace where there's a gap between the way that married people with kids are treated compared to single people?
Yeah, I think it's especially true when the married people have kids. So if they want to leave early to go to their kids' soccer games or take the kid to the dentist or whatever the reason might be, and employers often look fondly or at least tolerantly upon those requests, or the parents will just ask the people without kids to cover for them, and that's expected to be in many places a reasonable request. And what that ignores is that single people should not have to do more work for the same pay. And it ignores the fact that single people have their own lives and their own people in their lives who are important to them and their own commitments and obligations and interests and passions. It's as if the assumption is that if you're single and you don't have kids, that means you don't have a life. And therefore, you can cover for your colleagues who are assumed that they do have a life, you know, and it's a way of treating some workers more positively, more generously than others in ways that have nothing to do with what work should be about, which is about the quality of your work.
So you don't think that if a single person were to go to their boss and say, I have to take my aunt to a doctor's appointment, you think that person is going to be less likely to get a thumbs up?
On the average, yes. Now, I'm not saying this is true in all workplaces. There are bosses and workplaces that are becoming more attuned to these issues, which, of course, they should be because the number of people who are single has been growing for decades. Every time the Census Bureau releases a new report, it shows that there are more single people. And even if you count people who get married, Americans spend more years of their adult lives not married than married. So this is an issue that should be becoming increasingly salient and important and something that's attended to in the workplaces. And some workplaces really are good. Some employers are terrific about these matters. But still, on the average, it's the single people without kids who are getting the shorter end of the stick.
We had a comment from Allie on Facebook who posted and said that what you're describing happens to single people as well as to married people without children. What is your response to that?
Yes, that's part of it. Part of it is the issue of children. But it's not just children. It's also the issue of married people versus single people, even apart from children. And some of those disadvantages to single people are written right into our federal laws. So, for example, the Marriage and Family Leave Act lets any workers from an eligible workplace take time off to care for parents or children. It doesn't matter what your marital status is. But if you're married, you can also take time off under that act to care for your spouse. But I, as a single person, I can't take time off to care for someone important to me, like a close friend or a sibling, and no such person can take time off under the Act to care for me. So there are aspects of really important kinds of discrimination written right into our laws.
And in that same vein, you talk about how there is more financial fragility for people who are single. And they make, for instance, single women make far less in their lifetime than married women.
Yes, that's right. I think people often think, well, oh, if we have to lay someone off or we have to cut back on their hours, let it be the single people because they don't have anyone to support. Well, single people, especially if they're living alone, have only their own income to depend on. So if they get laid off or their hours are cut back, they don't have a spouse who can then pick up the slack, and they don't have a spouse that they can then say, well, I'll go on my spouse's health care plan. They're really more financially fragile in the fact that it's just them. There's not a fallback on opportunity.
We're talking to Bella DiPaolo right now, author of a piece in Quartz called Single Workers Aren't There to Pick Up the Slack for Their Married Bosses and Colleagues. And Bella, do you think part of this is that there's this assumption that, you know, kind of that single people are lonely and that if they're not at work, they're probably sitting at home watching TV? And in fact, you know, you say single people are way more involved in their communities than married people are.
Right. So that's another example of how our stereotypes about single people have real-world implications. So people do believe that. It's almost like they think, oh, if we have single people cover the holidays, we're doing them a favor because otherwise they'd be home crying in their beer. And it kind of ignores the fact that single people are in many ways more connected to more different people in their lives. For example, they do more than married people to maintain their ties with their friends and their siblings and their parents and their neighbors. In contrast, in these studies to follow people over the course of their lives and see how they change when they get married compared to when they were single, couples who move in together or get married become more insular, so they pay less attention to their friends and their parents. So it's just the opposite of the stereotype that single people are isolated and lonely, when actually they are the ones nurturing their connections and also, as you mentioned, doing more for their communities. They volunteer more in every kind of organization that the Bureau of Labor Statistics keeps track of, except one, which is religious organizations. Married people volunteer more for them. But single people are, in many ways, the life of their towns and communities. They're the ones, you know, going out to dinner and taking classes and getting involved in public events.
So do you think there could actually be negative ramifications on society and communities in general and as a whole because single people maybe aren't given quite as much of a long leash when it comes to how they're treated at work and given the opportunity to engage as much as they might otherwise?
Oh, sure. I mean, single people have a lot to offer, and that's something else that's rarely recognized in the workplace. So if, for example, you're a boss who wants someone who's good at organizing and figuring out how to get things done, well, single people have to figure out how to get everything done in their lives. It's not like when people get married and they split up the tasks and, you know, one spouse does one set of things and the other spouse does the other, and the one that doesn't do certain things often kind of loses their knack at doing them. And single people either have to do everything themselves or figure out how to recruit other people, find them, hire them, find people to help. And so I think that's a very valuable skill in the workplace. Single people also value work that's meaningful more than married people do. They have a certain confidence in their own opinions. They're actually more committed, not just to their jobs, but to their organizations and professions than married people are. So there are a lot of ways that single people bring great value to the workplace in ways that just are not recognized at all.
Just briefly, why do you say that single people value meaningful work more than married people?
Oh, because there's a study that went on for 9 years, and it started when people were at the end of their high school careers, and they asked them things like, you know, what would you value in a job? And there were things like, you know, the meaningfulness, the intrinsic interest, or more extrinsic things like how much you get paid, what's your opportunities for advancement. And 9 years later, the people who were single said that they cared more about the intrinsic meaningfulness of the job. And the people who were married said they cared more about extrinsic things. But even more interestingly, when they were in high school, before anyone was married, they were already showing those preferences. So the people who would stay single for at least the next 9 years were already saying they valued meaningful work more than married than people who would eventually get married said that they did.
We're talking with Bella DiPaolo now, author of a piece in Quartz called Single Workers Aren't There to Pick Up the Slack for Their Married Bosses and Colleagues.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea? How are single employees treated at your workplace? Do you see stereotypes of single people at work in general? If you're single, how do these stereotypes affect you? If you're married, if you have kids, do you feel like your workplace is bending over backwards to meet your needs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation and get to your calls in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our discussion now with Bella DiPaolo. She's the author of Singled Out, and she wrote a piece for Quartz called Single Workers Aren't There to Pick Up the Slack for Their Married Bosses and Colleagues.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a single person, do you feel discriminated against because of that at work? Are you expected to do more? Do you think there are negative stereotypes about single people? And if you're married with kids, do you see this imbalance, or do you feel like your workplace doesn't take your needs as a parent seriously? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We have Chuck joining us in Beaver Dam. Chuck, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question for your guest is, what sort of data are you using to come to these conclusions and make these assertions? Because, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I can also see a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with being single why people would be asked to work on weekends, for example. It, you know, it could be that they're just younger. You know, they're fresh out of college. They aren't married. They're younger. They don't have as much experience or seniority. So the senior people get the first crack at being off work, and the same, you know, type of thing for that. I'm worried you're confusing correlation with causation.
Chuck, thank you for the point. And how do you respond to that, Bella?
I can assure you I'm not confusing correlation with causation. I've taught research methods for more than 2 decades at the graduate student level, so I'm well aware of those issues. Thank you very much. But yes, that is an important point. And there is systematic research on the ways that single people are treated in the workplace relative to people who are married. Wendy Casper is an example of a researcher who has done that work. So the best research will compare single to married workers or workers with and without children and control for the different kinds of factors you mentioned so that it's not just a matter of being younger or older. If it were just based on anecdotes, then yes, those would be possibilities. But there is a research literature as well.
And Bella, what can an employer do if they want to level the playing field and make sure that all their employees are treated with the same yardstick?
You know, one of the things they can do is have a menu option where everyone is afforded, with regard to benefits, for example, the same dollar amount in benefits, but each employee, each worker gets to choose the benefits that they find relevant to them. So any way you can find to make sure that every worker has the same opportunities and the same potential for rewards and perks and privileges. So, and even things that can't always be the same at one point in time, like who has to cover the holidays, that can be arranged so that over time, everybody has to cover equally.
All right. Well, thank you for answering that one. Let's go to another caller now. We've got Maggie on the line in Madison. Maggie, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So I was just wondering if your speaker could comment on the fact that single people do get promoted at higher rates and they do achieve higher professional achievement throughout their career, and they are rewarded for the fact that they can, quote-unquote, pick up the slack. And this is unfair to both single and married and people with children, the fact that employers sometimes do assume that single people could pick up the slack, but then they are rewarded with higher incomes and higher higher promotion rates and higher professional achievements in the end, because we do know that women with children do lose quite a bit of pay throughout their lifetime for being mothers. Thank you.
Maggie, thank you for that call. And Bella, what about that? She says that singles get promoted at higher rates.
This is where we have a big sex differences. Yes, there are ways in which women, especially mothers, are really devalued in the workplace, but it's not true for men. So there are now some great studies comparing single men and married men in the workplace, and married men are paid more than single men, even when single men have the same seniority, the same contributions, and even in one study where the married and single men were twins, identical twins, the married men were paid an average of 26% more than the single men. So for men, there really is a disadvantage that goes to the single men. And I think it goes back to the point that was raised earlier about stereotypes. People think, oh, you know, the married men are more stable, they're more committed to their jobs, and they're going to be better workers. But you can't base, or you should not base, pay raises and promotions on what you think a person is like based on stereotypes. It should be based on their work performance.
We're talking with Bello DiPaola right now, author of Singled Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Live Happily Ever After. She says that at the workplace, a lot of the time, single people get the short end of the stick. They have to work the weekends and the holidays, and that there are other imbalances there between the way single people and married people or married people with children are treated. And we want to know if this is your experience. Call us and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Bella, what has been your personal experience with this? Have you seen this firsthand?
I have. I've had that assumption that, you know, it's because I'm single, I could not possibly have anyone else to support or to spend my money on. And the example I gave in the Quartz article is that when I talked to a boss about pay once, he said, you know, I know this can't really be about the money because, you know, you're single, you don't have any kids. Well, my mother had been widowed a few years before then, and how did he know that, or why did he assume, well, he probably didn't even think of the possibility that I could have been helping her, and if I were, I would have never said it. And there are other ways, too, that single people are helping other people in ways we don't even notice, like building up college funds for their nieces or nephews, or taking in other people in their family or others who need a place when things are tough. I mean, there are just so many ways that single people are helping other people that don't get recognized.
Let's take another caller now. We have Julie joining us in Green Bay. Julie, hello.
Hi there. I just had a comment. You were talking about that the single people were usually the ones that had to work weekends and nights and kind of the not fun hours. And I guess you know, in my 30 years of working, that has not been my experience. I work a job where people do work weekends and holidays and nights, and we've always divvied it up. You knew ahead of time if you were, you know, required to work that, and if it was a holiday, you had your rotating holidays. That really has not been my experience.
All right, Julie, thank you for sharing that. And Bella, we're getting pretty short on time, but do you think there is perhaps a sea change happening in that maybe some of the things that we're discussing today are starting to shift in our workplaces and our culture?
I sure hope so. I mean, it's wonderful to hear experiences like those that your caller just described, and I hope that workplace is a model for others so that other workplaces, too, join the 21st century and treat their single workers just as well as they treat their married ones.
And we'll leave it there. Bella, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Bella DiPaolo. She's the author of Singled Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Live Happily Ever After. And you can keep this conversation going, share your stories in agreement or not, and find a link to her piece on the Central Time Facebook page.